I taught class in New York last week in the city. I tried something that I haven't done before, which is we just had everybody around, sort of in a, not quite a circle, but just a comfortable group. And then class was sort of interactive. I talked and other people talked. And it really was very casual, but casual in a really remarkable sense, in that we took the whole idea of spiritual discourse or spiritual gathering and made it really comfortable, informal, and familiar. And it was really wonderful. We just shared in a way that people were able to answer back, and if I was saying something, people could talk. And it was a kind of demystified spirituality. It reminded me a little bit of Rudy in the last years of his life, where he wouldn't teach so much eye to eye. He would just sit and talk. And I remember how comforting it was, because in some way, whenever I sat to do the meditation, it became a formal experience, and it created a kind of effortful space, which is not in itself, in and of itself, bad. But I know that when Rudy would just talk and I would sit back and relax, and he always said, don't stop the practice when you're listening to me talk, just keep going. So I would just sit there, but it was so much more effortless. It so much more got in. I always found with Rudy, the more casual he was, the greater the impact. And whenever I was trying to do something, I found myself, in a sense, creating a bit of a barrier to the doing, to the receiving. So I was very grateful to feel something new, but the talk of the class happened so spontaneously that there was no recording of it. So a number of people wrote me or called to say, where was your class last week? Well, the class last week was like all the classes I taught for 30 some years, it was unrecorded. And there was always something I loved about that. I always loved sand paintings that were meant to be blown away the minute they were finished. I always loved sand castles that were meant to be washed away by the water. Things are not meant to stand. You know, things happen spontaneously in the moment for those who are there in that moment, and they're over. And really, all life is like that. It is a spontaneous arising of something in that moment that dissipates over and over and over. Very little stays completely firm and solid other than the structures that we build and the earth on which we build it, and even that mutates. Everything is in transition all the time. It was a very interesting day for me last week, and much of it centered around a group of stories that I was hearing about people and people's lives. And the stories, as the day went on, became more and more difficult. A lot of really painful stories. And I sort of wondered why this collection of difficult stories and people in so much pain and struggle. And it kind of continued during the week, and then on the plane coming here, I was watching the History Channel, and they started out with a whole section on the Middle Ages, and then they went to the Dust Bowl in America in the 1930s. And what was really happening for me, which was very interesting, was I was having trouble separating from the suffering I was hearing. It was so strong, it was so powerful, that I had to engage it as my own. And the people living in the Middle Ages, people living in the Dust Bowl, and clearly people living today, suffer. And they suffer in big ways. And they suffer in inescapable ways, things that will just endure for long periods of time. And I realized how, in my experiencing of that suffering, even though it wasn't mine directly, I was learning something very powerful. And that is how suffering really is pain with a narrative, meaning a story. And it's a story that either is part of why that pain exists, something happens in life, an event happens and creates suffering, or it's pain and we tell ourselves a story about it, and that story becomes pain. And we experience this enormous pain, often amplified by our continuing to tell ourselves a story about it. The stories I was hearing were really painful and really difficult. Suicides, collapses of worldly success, all sorts of traumas. I gotta say, the Middle Ages stories and the Dust Bowl stories were even more harrowing. And you look at human life, and you look at what people go through in human life, and you have to go, what's this all about? And how does one deal with it all? How does one deal with this much pain? Well, you almost have to break it down a little bit, because the most important thing to ask yourself at any given moment is, what's happening in this moment? What's happening right now? How much pain is there in this moment? And how much am I bringing into this moment? How much is actually here, and how much am I bringing in through my story? And my story being the story that's really happening to me, or the narrative I'm telling myself, how much is here? Chances are, if you break this down into small enough increments, this moment is not all that painful. If you can drink a cup of tea and put your cup down and sit there and take a breath, you probably have about a minute's worth of no pain. And then something happens mentally or emotionally, and the pain returns. And then, what do you do with that pain? How do you engage it? Or do you not engage it? Well, it's very hard not to engage pain. We are built for it. We are built to engage our story. Our personal narrative is so important to us. It's so meaningful. We are built to believe in it completely, to suffer it, to root for it, the happiness of our lives, to want something in our lives. It's all here. And so when the pain arises so strongly, you really are, most people, at a loss for separating or detaching. You just can't do it. You try. You really do try. But there aren't a lot of mechanisms for it. And a lot of the mechanisms we get are pharmacological. And that doesn't really do anything to break you away from the pain. It just dulls the pain or makes it so you don't have to engage it in that moment. But it's still there. Here's what meditation does. And it's one of the things you can use with pain. And that is, you enter into the truth of whatever is going on in your life. You don't run from it. You sit in it, and you enter into it completely. and you ask as deeply as you can for help to surrender, which means not to run from it, not to hide from it, not to pretend it away, just to surrender your involvement, if you will, with the pain, just to let go. Doesn't mean the pain goes away. It just means that you and your reaction to it starts to alter, and something starts to happen, which is you start to feel this, I can bear this feeling, this opening, this clarity, this simplicity, this release. Everything is still there, but you're no longer in it. You're no longer of it. It's just part of something. It's like, let's put it this way, it's like the thunderclouds in the sky. You've entered a space that's the equivalent of stepping into a dry room on a wet day. It's still pouring, it's still thundering, but you're in a space of protectedness. And that protected space is in every human being. But you have to know it's there, and you have to be willing to go there. You have to ask for help to surrender. You have to ask for help to enter this safe place. And one of the extraordinary things about pain, and Rudy always said pain is God's love, which I always found to be a hard statement. But the fact of the pain being God's love is that when there is enormous pain, you don't have a lot of choices. I mean, you do. You have choices of obliterating yourself. You have choices of drowning yourself in alcohol. You have choices of pharmacological solutions. But you also have this choice, which is to go deep inside and find some kind of surprisingly profound comfort. You can talk yourself out of that comfort in a second. You can bring narrative back very quickly and throw yourself back into the maelstrom. In other words, run out of the house back into the storm. But you can also sit inside and wait it out. In the Dust Bowl days, they would go into their homes, and that was a real problem because the dust got in. It came through the walls, it came through the ceilings, it came through windows. Even though they were all closed and barred to the dust, the particles were so fine they still got in. They tried everything they could. They put plaster of Paris around all the cracks in the walls. They put wet sheets over the windows. They put wet sheets over the baby's cribs, and it still got in. It still got in. When there is nothing you can do, then there is nothing you can do. You sit there and you bear it. And even that offers a certain kind of opening, a certain kind of extraordinary willingness to accept what is. Accepting what is the final teaching. You don't struggle. You just go, thy will be done. Thy will be done. And sometimes that will is very intense. Sometimes it's really powerful, and sometimes you will not survive it. Not the you that you know. But entering into that space is the essence of spiritual work. It's the ultimate trusting. It's the ultimate faith. It's the ultimate letting go. It's really what we train for. And at some point in our lives, everybody finally realizes you will not survive this particular episode. And that's the moment that you have to go, yes, yes. There's no longer anything you can do to find succor, peace, comfort, anything. All you can do is say yes to the magnitude of pain. There is a promise in all spiritual circles that final yes is the great redemption for every human being. It's really what finally liberates. It can liberate you in life, it can liberate you at the end of your life. It's this absolute reaching for something that is what it is, the truth of being. And the truth of being is right in this very space. The truth of who we are and what we are and what we can be is here right now. The essence of our humanity, the essence of our spirituality is here in this, whatever we're experiencing. And if you are experiencing the kind of pain that I was seeing in people, there was so little one could do for anybody in some of these moments. You can hug people, you can touch people, you can listen to people, you can acknowledge them. But the journey is so private. It's your journey, it's their journey. It's the journey that each of us has to learn to make into ourself, into the depth of ourself. That's what we're all here for. We're all here to learn how to do that. I was at dinner the other night with a really wonderful woman, Susan, and we were talking about this idea, I've got your back. And she put her hand on my back, like this. We were just talking about the idea of I've got your back and touch. And the minute she put her hand on my back, the sense of connectivity, of comfort, of understanding, of compassion, just surged through my whole body. It was so beautiful. And I've had this so many times in my life where touching offered so much comfort. And then she did something which was very unexpected. She took my head in her hands like this. And she says, most of us are never touched like that except when we're infants. And I have to say, the minute she did that, my whole body melted into some kind of infantile, sweet joy. And I understood how much our touching of others, and I mean this physically as well as emotionally, how important that is in other people's suffering. That we are here as helpers. And also at certain points, we're here to be helped. But when you're here as a helper, that's your job. Your job isn't to say, oh, I know a million people going through what you're going through, or oh yes, I've had the same problem. Your job is to listen, to be empathetic, to feel, to know what that person is going through. Blanche and I read Talia, a book the night before. And it was about a little somebody going to sleep. And it was not her bedtime, it was way before her bedtime. But she was listening to the book with such intensity that when we started talking about now is the time to go to sleep, she started sobbing. Because it wasn't time for her to go to sleep, and she had no way of knowing she wasn't the character in the book. And in a certain way, we are so identified with other people and with ourselves and with our story that we can't separate from it. We just can't separate from it. And all I can tell you is meditation allows you separation. You just have to remember to do it. You have to remember to take a breath, ask for help to surrender, and let the universe do its work. It's really, really crucial, really deeply crucial. And, you know, one of the reasons we've been given this kind of practice is that it helps. It really helps people in life. And it's so hard to see so many people suffering without having a clue what to do, having a clue where to turn. So this is a way, this is a place to turn. You know, we're living in very, very intense times, but it's not the Middle Ages. There's no dust storm at this moment. And each of us has been given so much, and we all have a lot of richness in our lives. If we can turn our focus onto those things, we can rise above the struggle and know that it's all fine, it's all going to be fine in its own deep and real way. And that if we comfort one another and we're there for one another and we find succor in our own deep inner space, we will know irrevocably that we are all fine. We are all fine. Any questions? Okay, thank you.